integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Have you ever had the experience of locking yourself out of the house or wherever you were? Maybe it's the car. I know today a lot of cars have safety devices to where you can't lock yourself out. If the keys are in there, you can get into it. But of course, old school, you could easily lock yourself out of the car. And you desperately want to be in that space where the keys are, but you are on the outside. Have you ever thought about the fact that God has never experienced that? God, not only does God have the best cars, right? No, I'm just teasing. But God doesn't experience it because he is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. When you think about this view of God that the scripture reveals, it blows our categories and it helps us to know God better and to live in light of his glory better and better. When you think of the word present, you think of here, close, next to. And when you think of omni, it's a universality of the thing. So God is everywhere present. He's close to everything. He's next to everything. It's based on God's infinity, which is unlimited and unlimitable. It's like everything is in God's presence. However, I was reading in R.C. Sproul's book, which is Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. And he made an important qualification. He said, when we speak of God's omnipresence, we usually mean that his presence is in all places. Yeah, it sounds like what Dr. Kreutz just said. There is no place where God is not. Yet, as spirit, God does not occupy any place in the sense that physical objects occupy space. He has no physical qualities that can occupy space. The key to understanding this paradox is to think in terms of another dimension. The barrier between God and us is not a barrier of space or time. To meet God, there is not a where to go or a when to occur. To be in the immediate presence of God is to step into another dimension. Wow. That's why R.C. Sproul was R.C. Sproul and the rest of us weren't. You know? He has a real way of putting things and to express it. Obviously, God manifests his presence in space and time, and that's completely fine for us to think of it in terms of, yes, God is with us, because the Bible speaks in those ways. Hebrews 13:5 is a precious promise that we can't flee from the presence of the Lord, that he's always with us all the time. Just looking it up in my Bible here, and it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So from our perspective, God's not leaving us. He's with us. He's here right now. And in that sense, he's everywhere present. Right now, everything is in the presence of God, and we do appreciate R.C. Sproul's qualifications that it's kind of like another dimension, because God is a spirit. He's not taking up space. So that's important for us to remember. But as we think about God's omnipresence, think about a story in the Bible where this is illustrated so powerfully, and I'm thinking of the story of Jonah. Remember, God calls Jonah to go and to preach the message of judgment and repentance to the people of Nineveh. And basically, Jonah doesn't want to go. And in fact, he goes the other way. God says, head east. And so Jonah gets on a boat and heads west to a place called Tarshish, which I understand some people say could be modern day Barcelona. Basically, when you think of the Mediterranean world, it's at the other end of the earth from where Jonah was, and he wanted to get as far away from God as he could. Well, you know the story. If you don't know the story, it's a great opportunity for you to find your Bible and find the book of Jonah and read that story because it is such a great one. But God sends a storm on the Mediterranean Sea. The people figure out, right? I'm cutting through it. They figure out it's Jonah's fault. They throw Jonah into the sea. A big fish comes and swallows Jonah whole and takes him on like a submarine ride in the Mediterranean Sea. And in Jonah chapter 2, we have Jonah's prayer. And so it's such an interesting thing, isn't it? It says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish." And of course, the rest of the chapter is his beautiful prayer. God answered that prayer in Jonah 2:10. "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Wow, what a great story the story of Jonah is. If you haven't been there in a while, go check it out. But as we're thinking of omnipresence, we find that you can't flee from God's presence. You can't go to the end of the earth. You can't even go under the Mediterranean Sea. God's right there in the belly of the fish, just like God was there in the land of Israel when he was sending Jonah to go and preach. And of course, then Jonah eventually does go, as God calls and gives him a second shot here. "Go back to Nineveh, preach the message I told you to preach." Jonah does. The people repent. And you basically find Nineveh is in modern day Iraq, and God is there too, granting the people of Nineveh repentance to this message. Every place that Jonah went, God was. You can't run from God's presence. You can't escape from God's presence. Nor should we want to, of course. But what a beautiful truth God's omnipresence is. I think it's expressed maybe most beautifully, at least to me, in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. For the darkness is as light with you." He goes on to say, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." What a beautiful description of omnipresence. And the psalmist, David, He basically says, let me go to the extremes. And if God is there, guess what? God is going to be everywhere else. God is as high as heaven or the heavens. He is as low as Sheol, the place of the dead. You know, I'm going to take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Maybe Jonah should have had his quiet time in Psalm 139 before he booked that passage to Barcelona. He would have learned that God's going to be there. You're not going to be able to escape. In fact, even as a baby is being formed within its mother's womb, that baby is in the very presence of the living God, because God is everywhere all the time. Now, this is an incredible truth. It's got all kinds of applications for us to consider. Maybe just one of them. Before the break, we could just think about the fact that if you are sinning, you are sinning in the presence of God. Maybe you can envision yourself in the throne room of God, and you've got God manifesting his presence on this crystal throne surrounded by rainbows, and you are across the glassy sea from God. And what are you doing with the spotlights on you? You're sinning. You're sinning. You're wanting things that don't belong to you. You're lusting after them. You are angry. You are seeking revenge. You are saying profane things. Whatever the sin is, we are doing it in the very presence of God. That's a terrible thought. How many times have you been really upset and somebody comes in the room, maybe a godly friend or something, and you immediately have self-control? Well, how much more should it be if we think about the fact that we are in God's very presence all the time? Well, after our break, let's come back and consider more applications of the omnipresence of God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. Have you ever had a moment when you realize that you're not alone? And I don't mean like in a spooky sense where you feel like there's a ghost in your house or something weird like that. I mean when something hard or convicting happens and then it just hits you. God's here. He's here. Not just in theory, not in doctrine, but he is present. And I think for a lot of us, that's a comfort and a confrontation. Because if God's really always present, then so are we. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing outside his reach. Which is exactly what we're doing here at Fortis Institute. Let me explain. Theology like this, like what Dr. Krotz is talking about today, this isn't just for Sunday schools. This isn't just for Sunday mornings. This is for real life. This is for when you're sitting in your car and you're trying to pray, when temptation shows up in the dark, for when you wonder if God's even listening. He is. And I'm convinced we need more of this. We need more of what Dr. Krotz is doing here. More voices who don't flinch when the Bible presses in. We need more people who actually want that kind of depth, who aren't looking for shortcuts or life hacks. That's why Fortis Institute exists. We've been doing this for over 25 years, first as Gospel Partners Media, then as Wretched Radio, now as Fortis Institute. Different names, same mission. And if this is the kind of content that matters to you, if it's starting to help shape the way you think or walk with the Lord, would you consider joining us? If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're in a place financially where you could stand with us, we would love to link arms with you and for you to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Because this kind of teaching that you're hearing right here with Dr. Krotz doesn't just happen on its own. It happens because somebody decided it was worth the investment. You can learn more about what it would look like in your life to join us at fortisinstitute.org. And if you haven't done it yet, download the Fortis Plus app. It's free. I mean, actually free. There's no trial period, no credit card pop-ups, none of that. There's new content added every day, and all of it meant to help you think clearly. You can grab it right now at fortisplus.org, or you can go to your app store and download it there. Again, it's free. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Krotz now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Today we're considering God's omnipresence. God is everywhere present. You are always doing what you do in the very presence of God before his throne room. And we have been considering that. We've looked at the story of Jonah, how that is a great illustration that wherever Jonah tried to flee and wherever he eventually ministered, God was right there. In fact, God is everywhere present always. In fact, he is fully present everywhere. It's not like God gets thinned out by stretching to be everywhere. No, he fills heaven and earth, the Bible says, and he is fully present everywhere all the time. So we're talking about applications. What difference does this make? If you were going to integrate the truth of God's omnipresence in your life, how would it look? We've already considered the fact that our sins are in God's presence. So that should affect our pursuit of holiness. We should not be sinning because we should be conscientious that God is right here. He's right here. And just like if a good friend came into the room when we were on some kind of angry rant and we would immediately gain self-control, we should also have that sense that God is with me. My Father is here and I want to please him. And so I'm not getting away with anything, anytime, ever. All right, another application. And this certainly is all related to this. We should just worship such a God. I mean, this is beyond our categories. I mean, we can relate to my opening illustration of last segment of locking your keys in the car or locking your keys in the house. And you are on the outside and you want to be on the inside. And we can kind of relate to being in a place at a time. But God is a spirit. He's in another dimension, as R.C. Sproul said. And yet he fills every place all the time. That should just make us humble and be amazed that we have a God that we cannot comprehend. We cannot figure him out. We cannot put him in a box. I mean, if you had a box, God would be in there, but God would also be in every place outside of the box at the same time. So worship is another application about omnipresence. And how about the fact that you have the freedom to worship this great God everywhere you are? Now, we were talking about Jonah trying to flee from God's presence, but you know, have you been to some exotic places where you've not been trying to get away from God's presence? Maybe you were on vacation, maybe you were on a mission trip, and you had the opportunity, like me, to worship with brothers and sisters in that other place. It's so great. I recommend going on mission trips. That's a wonderful thing to do. But one thing that is a big highlight for me has been to worship God with brothers and sisters in other places around the world. And I've been so blessed to be able to travel to places. And I don't know anything about the language other than the very basics of, you know, some greetings or that kind of thing. But here I am, and many times I'm singing the tune of praise songs that I know the words in English. And here we are in, you know, in Portuguese, in Brazil, or in Chinese, in the Far East, or in English with a different accent where we're worshiping our great God together, maybe in a place like New Zealand. I've worshiped God in Israel. And like I said, I've been super blessed to go to many, many places. And every time I do it, God is there. I never have to wonder and say, ooh, God's not really here in this country. I mean, it's a little bit scary to travel internationally when you're out of your comfort zone sometimes. But if you could travel outside of God's presence, that would be the scariest of all places. That would not be a place you'd want to go, no matter how great the scenery was. But guess what? You never have to. You never have to leave God's presence. Some people say, well, what about hell? Isn't that the place where God is not? Well, there are some verses and some references that indicate that God is not present in his graciousness, but of course God is still present in hell because God is pouring out his wrath actively in hell. You're not going to have God's access to God's kindness and his loving presence to you, but you will experience his wrath in hell. So we've seen some applications. Wow. All of our activities and actions are lived in light of God's presence. We should be amazed and humbled that we have such a God who is incomprehensible, and we have the freedom to worship him everywhere. He is the same God in his fullness everywhere you will ever be. Another application is there is great comfort. It is great comfort to know that God is with us. Remember that verse we considered earlier, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Guess what? In your time of temptation, God will not leave you out to dry. God is going to help you. He's right there. What about your times of affliction? Well, consider these words from Psalm 46:1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Oh, what a great comfort. God is a present help in our time of need. You know, in the old days, we used to have the phones that were corded, and it was always a drag if you tried to call somebody important and the line was busy. There was an annoying sound that indicated all of your efforts to dig up the phone number and to punch in the right buttons were in vain because they were talking to someone else on the phone and you had to wait. I remember when I was a kid and the phone company came out with call waiting, where you could get another call and switch back and forth. That was annoying in some ways, but it was a great help in other ways. Well, God's phone is never busy. You never have to get sent straight to voicemail when you pray because God is right here with you and he is never too busy to help you. He's never on a trip out of town. And okay, God's over in Asia, but he'll be back next week. No, he's right here with us. So that leads to another application, empowerment for doing his will. You remember the Great Commission, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And remember that little thing that Jesus added on at the end, and lo, or behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Guess what? That was meant to be a special word of encouragement to those who are doing the work of the Great Commission. Are you seeking to make disciples? Are you sharing the gospel with somebody who doesn't know Christ? Are you teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus taught us? Well, good news, Jesus is right there to help you. He is empowering you. That's a wonderful application of God's omnipresence. He's not just here tapping his foot on the ground, so to speak. He's not just annoyed with you and your sin. I know I said that we sin in his very throne room. But he's not just annoyed with that. He loves you. He cares about you. As it says in Psalm 103, he's mindful that you are but dust, right? God knows our frame. He knows what we're about, and he loves us, and he cares for us. So we should be motivated to live for him. We should be confident he is going to help us. We should have a right reverence for God, the right fear of the Lord. Knowing who God is, knowing where God is, so to speak, he's everywhere present, and knowing what he requires ought to help us to live rightly in his very presence. It's not enough to know that God is omnipresent. We've got to live in light of that. James tells us, don't just be a hearer of God's word, but do God's word. So let's think about God's omnipresence and let's worship our God who is right here with us and let us live for his glory. See you next time on Integrated.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.